Well, I am excited about what God is doing in Highland Hills, this process that we are going through, and it is encouraging to me to see. Am I on? Yeah. Okay. It's encouraging to me to meet other people who are in love with Jesus, and you want to tell the world about that, and the world might be a struggling young person. This morning, as we kind of quickly go through, I know that most of us in this room know have a very important skill that that we're good at, and that skill is we all know how to tell time. And, you know, we've got a lot to pack in today, and unfortunately, the clock is not our friend. And it isn't that we're trying to rush through and hurry, and before everybody's, we need to take time there. One of the things that we have to understand in this room is that there is an activity that's going on not in this room, and it's called Children's Church. And if we leave them up there to die, that's what's going to happen, is the children's church people, the workers, they will kill me. And that is not a good thing. So we have to be mindful of that. But when we do have a lot of stuff to pack in, then that's a problem. So this morning we're talking about, and we've got time, and so I'm going to push a lot of this sermon back to next week. Which doesn't mean that I'm not going to do anything this week. It means that it's going to be even better next week because I'm going to practice it and preach it even more. But we're talking about living sacrifices, and we're talking about leading up to something. And right now we're leading up to Easter. Easter's at the end of this month, and it's the day that we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and we're going to have a big day, and there's going to be, you know, all kinds of special things that are going to, you know, take place in our worship, and special songs and that sort of thing. And Easter is a big day. It's a big day in the church because it's a big day in the reality of who we are. And as living sacrifices, we are always preparing for perfection. And that's what we're going to be talking about the rest of this month leading up to the resurrection of Christ, because that is when the perfection that we are anticipating for us becomes real. When our resurrection takes place and we are joined with that perfection for all of eternity, that's something that we are preparing for. It was something that Jesus was preparing for. And the transfiguration of Jesus that's found in Luke chapter 9, 28 through 36 is kind of a peculiar passage, but it's all about Jesus preparing for that perfection. Not His perfection, because He was already perfect, but it was the culmination of the perfect sacrifice. It was Jesus is preparing not only Himself, but He's preparing us for what is to come. If you've got your Bibles, look with me in Luke chapter 9. We're going to read this transfiguration. It's one that we should be kind of familiar with, but it happens in the context of other things. And in Luke it says, days after Jesus said this, and what he's talking about is when Peter makes that confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, after 8 days, He took Peter, John, and James with Him, and they went up into a high mountain to pray. His face changed, and His clothes became as bright as a flash. Glorious splendor with Jesus. They spoke about His departure He was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw His glory and the two men standing with Him. And as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to Him, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters or booths or altars, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. I love that part. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. What a place in history. I mean, of all the places, you know, if they ever make time travel possible, you know, there's a lot of episodes of history that I'm sure people will be lining up to go to. You know, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You know, there's all kinds of historical events and all kinds in the life of Christ. And I'm sure, you know, walking on water and water to wine and, you know, and all that. But before it got really popular, before people remembered this, go to the Mount of Transfiguration and see, I mean, I want to see the look on the faces of the guys who are standing there when they see what's going on. They've got no CGI. They've got no movies, Star Wars, where there's all kinds of special effects and things like that. They've never seen anything like this. And they go up on this mountain. They don't know what to expect. They've been with Jesus. Weird things happen all the time. But this has got to be the most bizarre thing they've ever seen to date. Jesus lights up like lightning. But the thing that I want to be there for is when that cloud envelops them and they hear the voice of God. And it, you know, the voice of God had happened before. And I mean, it wasn't like a blast or like a trumpet. It wasn't like thunder. To hear His voice. To have that connection. I mean, because is voice so unique? It's a connection thing. I remember when Vic and I were just dating, and we had this camping trip with a bunch of our friends planned. My mom called me about 2 days before this camping trip, and she told me that I had plans that weekend. Those plans were not to camp. Those plans were to babysit her dogs. Now, y'all never knew my mom, but if you did, you would understand that when she called me, she wasn't asking me if I was going to do something. She was informing me of what I was about to do. And she had these dogs like people to her. And they didn't stay in the kennel. They didn't get boarded. They had family members and friends and neighbors that would take them in and care for them. She was somewhere. She would call and check on them. Well, this was the days before cell phones and all that, so I couldn't tell her no. So we got the dogs, and Vic and I were going to go camping on our camping trip. So we put the dogs in the kennel at the vet, and we went camping. We got back. And my answering machine was smoking. Now, that was back in the days when you had the machine on the table and you put the things in and the tape and you got a 90-minute tape and you know that and you would beep and then listen and beep. She filled up an entire tape of her calling, asking about those dogs. And after I didn't call her back and she didn't get an answer, then her inquisition turned into just yelling at me. And what she was going to do to me when she got me, "I know you put those dogs in the kennel. What are you thinking? Oh my, when I get back, you're in so much trouble." I mean, I am a grown man at this point. I was living on my own. Graduated college. And Vic looked at me and she knew right then, I can't marry this man. I am too afraid of his mom. But, you know, over the after she died, you know, a few months later, you know, that tape was so precious to me. I would just listen to it. Because I just hear, just to hear her voice. And there were some nights when I would just miss her so much, and I would tell Vic to get out that tape, and we would just listen to her me. Just to hear her voice. Because that's the essence of her. And a hard time or a good time to get a phone call and just to hear the voice on the other end of that line. Text message doesn't touch it and email doesn't come close. But to, you know, if you can't be right there, that voice is so connecting. Here, God, as Jake said, He understands us and He reaches down and He gives them one thing. And He said, you know, this. And the words that He said are so profound. God rarely repeats Himself, but He says the exact same thing that He said at the baptism of Jesus. This is my Son. This translation, whom I have chosen. But He adds something here. He says, listen to Him. There's something about that connection. If we're going to be Christ followers, we're always going to be living towards Calvary. Because when Jesus takes them up on this mountain, of them is about the coming glory, is about all of the things that God has in store, power and the transforming, transfiguring. Must be rejected by the and what He's taking them up to show them is that our lives are always leaning towards. If we're going to be Christ followers, if we're going to be preparing for perfection, then we're always living with Calvary in mind. We're always living with this greater sacrifice planned. Hi, go ahead and skip on to the last. I'm going to leave it right there for this week. And I want us to think about, read over this transfiguration passage, this Luke 9 passage, where Jesus has already prepared His guys, was here, and look, I got to suffer. And if He's got to suffer, we got to suffer. He says, I'm going to be handed over. And if He's going to be handed over, we're going to be handed over. He said, I'm going to be betrayed. He's going to be betrayed, then we're going to be betrayed. And He said, one of the things that and transfiguration is all about showing us the power behind the pledge to do all of the things that we have to do. And He said, if we're going to be prepared to be perfect, we've got to live toward Calvary. We've got to live our life leaning in this direction. Everything is defined by this moment in time. This morning, do you want to live your life towards Calvary? And I know there's a lot of things that have been going on, and we've got a lot of exciting stuff with, you know, youth ministry candidate and thinking about the future of our church and where we're going and all that. And all of that is great and well and good and exciting stuff. But if you are not leaning towards and living in the shadow of Calvary, none of the other stuff matters at all. All of the plans, all of the great excitement, all of the everything. Unless we are in the shadow of that living sacrifice. So this morning I ask you, are you living toward Calvary? This morning I ask you, are you allowing God to prepare you for that perfection? We want to talk more about this in days and weeks to come, but this morning you have a choice. You have a decision to make. And that, and being prepared for that perfection can start right now with a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It can start with, after that confession, being baptized into His death, into His burial and resurrection. Whatever that looks like for you, wherever you are on that walk, this morning you can start that. As we get excited about the future of leading children, leading teens, leading this community to Christ, can you let this church lead you there as well, as together we stand and as we sing?